Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. My name is Allison Klein. I'm joined today by two of Intel's most senior technologists, Tahir Ghani and Sam Sivakumar. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tahir, why don't we start with you? Can you describe what your role is at Intel and what you work on?
I am an Intel fellow, and more specifically, I am a director of transistor technology and integration at Portland Technology Development. Our team develops Intel microprocessor technologies to be used in the next 3 to 5 years.
All right. And Sam, what is your focus at Intel?
And just like Tahir, I also work in Portland Technology Development. I am also an Intel fellow and director of lithography. So my responsibility is to come up with the next generation lithography technology to make Tahir's transistors smaller and smaller in every generation.
So you guys need to work hand in hand to make the magic of TikTok happen.
Yes.
Yes.
Why don't we start with you, Sam? What is the use of lithography in the development of a microprocessor?
Essentially, the technique we use is very similar to a camera. We spin this photosensitive material onto the wafer and essentially take a picture of a circuit that's on a piece of glass that's larger, and it's shrunk through this photo technique onto the wafer. And this technique is used repeatedly to make the different kinds of features, transistors, wires, and so on. And a modern technology could take 30 or 40 such steps to create the entire chip.
That's fascinating. Tahir, why don't you tell us the other side of the story and how that interfaces with the photolithography?
So my challenge is to be able to design the smallest transistors so you can fit in many, many transistors in a given area, mm-hmm. and to be able to design those transistors such that they still work as an effective on-off switch. So if you look at state-of-the-art transistors today, they switch from on to off and off to on at a speed of roughly over a billion times per second. And we need to continuously improve that to be able to improve the product. And at the same time, being able to switch from on to off, they need to consume less and less power.
So you just faced a huge challenge a couple of years ago in the leakage that was a problem with silicon dioxide as we moved to smaller and smaller sizes. And hafnium got a lot of attention in the media. Is hafnium the solution for us for multiple generations, or are you already thinking about the next thing?
So actually, hafnium is only part of it. The other part is the metal gate. Before we went to high-k metal gate transistor architecture, we used to have heavily doped polysilicon, which acted as the gate of these transistors to turn these off and on, and sandwiched between the gate, which was polysilicon, and the underlying silicon channel was the silicon oxide. Because the silicon oxide had gotten so thin, there was an effect what is called polydepletion, which means when you put a voltage on the gate, part of that voltage is lost within the gate itself. So the effective voltage that goes into driving the channel becomes less than what you apply at the gate. Going to high K enabled us to reduce the gate leakage, but also using metal gate in conjunction with high K enabled us to improve significantly the polydepletion, which enabled us to speed up the transistors. So your next question was, what is happening beyond? We continue to look at alternative high-K materials other than hafnium, which offer better dielectric constant offer better transistor performance. At this time, I will not be able to divulge any details, but rest be assured that high-K is going to stay within Intel transistors in foreseeable futures.
Thank you. Sam, when we move to 32-nanometer process, you're using 193-nanometer wavelengths in your technology. Can you explain a little bit about what that means and what limitations we're running up against there?
The ability to print a feature of a certain size, and obviously from one generation to next, you want to print things that are smaller and smaller. The feature size is related to the wavelength of light that you use. The smaller the wavelength, the smaller the feature size you can define. Once you use 193-nanometer light, and then from one generation to the next, as you keep making things smaller and smaller, 193-nanometer by itself runs out of gas at some point. Then you've got to try to switch to an even lower wavelength. But we employed a trick to replace the air that's between the lens and the wafer by water. And the higher refractive index of the water, it turns out, will give you a boost in your resolution capability of the scanner. And so that's known as immersion lithography, and that's really the mainstay now of current state-of-the-art photolithography techniques. We think we can extend immersion lithography several generations, but it becomes progressively more expensive to do so. We are working on an alternative in even lower wavelength, which is, it's a big jump, going from 193 nanometers today to 13.5 nanometers,
wow,
which is known as extreme ultraviolet or EUV. And that's a technology that's been worked on for many years now, both within Intel as well as in the industry. And finally, we're probably a few years away from having production-worthy equipment that we could realistically look at and think about using in a production line. You know, we've had experimental equipment that can do EUV for quite a while, but it's a long step from an experimental setup to something that we actually could use in our factories.
Fantastic. Well, Tahir and Sam, it's been fascinating to talk to you. It's not often that we get to listen to the real deep technology that goes into Intel microprocessors. So thank you very much for joining me today.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Visit ChipChat online at intel.com/design/chipchat.htm.